Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Guarantee Audio 611. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Well, we have an early appearance from Angel here, if I'm not mistaken. So everyone enjoy the hello from my cat. Well, as we were talking about before the show here, this is going to be a short week for shows. Only one podcast this week. We will be abstaining from recording on Thanksgiving, despite everyone's at-home nature during
That's fine by me.
this ongoing pandemic.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll have some extra ammo for next week, I suppose. So, you know, and we might even get carryover NXT and AEW work on Tuesday's show next week, because...
Yeah, we could certainly do that, yes. That actually sounds like probably a pretty good idea, since we've been tapping out pretty early in the last... a couple of weeks, and we may very well be do that again today, tonight.
So. Yeah, and I've been completely fine with the don't dwell on it for too long and just get out of Dodge, honestly, because we couldn't, again, figure out a starting point for the show, but I guess the one thing that stood out to me, I guess, would have been the farewell to the Undertaker segment, just because I don't know what I was expecting exactly, but what we got wasn't it.
No, not at all. Oh, when he got out there and the realization that this room is empty. He's going through all of this. This is supposedly the last time he's ever gonna dress like that, ever be the Undertaker again, and it's in this empty room. But he's got to pretend like he's soaking in the fake cheers that I'm not even sure if the wrestlers can actually hear or not, or if it's just, you know, piped in
piped on TV. Yeah.
TV. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. No. This was a big miss. I mean, okay, I enjoyed the Paul Bearer hologram, or if that was just something imposed just for the television circus. So, you know what? Just so the Undertaker can look at it, I'm pretty sure they did not pop for the Robert Kardashian hologram machine. it was inserted in, you know, in production. I assume an Undertaker couldn't actually see it, but I enjoyed that part, but otherwise, just like, there wasn't much to it. They brought all those people out there and then shuffled them away before Undertaker came out, and which was really silly. Kane looked ridiculous in full gear.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Like, that was the highlight to me, was Kane coming out in full gear. Like, everyone else comes out dressed, you know, like a normal person. And then Kane's just there in full gear. It's just like, oh my god. I mean, other than that, I was just like, oh, motherfucker, I stayed up and watched this. I like to do some stretching Sunday night. I was like, man, I really should have started my yoga like 30 minutes ago. Like, this segment was... It was a nothing burger. Like, I guess I understand wanting to have... Like, yeah, I don't know why he needs to have some segment. Like, I don't know if that was at his request, because, like, him riding off into the sunset really could have been, you know, after the Boneyard match. Really, that's a good enough farewell to me, but someone wanted this.
I assume Vince McMahon wanted this. I mean, the stars did align that the Survivor Series was literally on the 30th anniversary date, not just the 30th anniversary, 30 Survivor Series ago. But they've done a good job with the Thunderdome and, you know, and the actual wrestling and the actual product looking and feeling and sounding better than it did in the Performance Center by far.
Yes.
But a moment like this in front of, in an empty room was just absolutely, it was sad. It was a sad wave. If he never puts the gear on again, never makes the entrance again, that was sad.
yeah. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't good. You know, like I said, I guess I don't know what exactly I was expecting, but, you're right. Like, even if it had, even if they had the small crowd that there is at NXT, it would have helped. You know, like, just some real, cause like, you can tell the difference, to me at least, I feel like you can tell the difference between the real noise and the canned noise on NXT. But in the WWE, like, I on the main roster shows, I guess I feel like it's 100% canned.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's absolutely canned. It's pre-recordings of past live crowds. Yeah, I mean, people aren't sitting in front of their webcams chanting, "This is awesome. This is awesome." At least I hope they're not.
I'm not sure how many matches they've had to be able to, oh well, that's right, people would chant that at a 5-minute match, so yeah, I guess they probably could chant that from home if they really wanted to. Yeah, this that segment needed a live crowd, and it wasn't there, and it made for not good TV. Even though, like you said, like, even though the dates were there and everything, I kind of understand the beginning and end kind of thing at the same event, but it just wasn't the same. And honestly, at this point, for as much as he started Survivor Series, even with the streak broken, he's more known for WrestleMania than anyone else, wouldn't you think? Like, even Mr. WrestleMania, like, Undertaker was there how many straight WrestleManias? Like, what? Because even with the losses, what, has it been, like, 25 consecutive WrestleManias or some shenanigans like that for Taker?
It wasn't consecutive. He missed two.
Oh, okay.
In 1994 and 2000. But then it's 25 and 2, I think. Didn't they say his record was at some point?
Oh.
So that'd be 27?
Oh.
He did wrestle out 27 of them, which if he didn't debut until 7, he missed 2, didn't do 35, but did 36. Yeah, I guess so. I'm not going to totally do all that math, but that checks out.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's another one to me that, like, he's more known for WrestleMania than he is for Survivor Series, despite him starting there.
Well, we can always say our final farewell to him again.
Oh, jeez.
This is just,
yeah. I guess I really hope at this point that they do, like, as bad as that segment was, I don't want to see him wrestle again. Like, it just not necessary. Like, I don't think any of those problems are getting any better physically for him. You know, he's not any younger, so, you know, it's there really isn't going to be bounce back at this point.
No, they're absolutely not, no.
So yeah, the rest of Survivor Series, I will admit, I missed the opening match with the Raw men's against the SmackDown men's team. I'm not sure that really seemed to have any weight anyway, so I'm not sure that it was a bad thing to miss.
No, there wasn't much to it at all. Just the SmackDown team went down one by one. Raw ran the table, set up a segment later with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso that led to Jey Uso interfering in the main event to win back Roman's love. not much, yeah, other than that, not much to it. I mean, it played a part in Raw with all the Raw men's team members, you know, stating their case for the next championship match against Drew McIntyre. But other than that, no, there wasn't a lot to this match, no.
Yeah, and I do think that we ended up getting a pretty good match from the New Day versus the Street Profits. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, that match was really good. I love that match. Yeah, it was. You know, actually, I go as far as I say it was tremendous. Yes, good match. I enjoyed how I liked how aggressive the New Day were being. You know, borderline heelish. Making the Street Profits work for it, making them fight for it, and Street Profits, they still, they overcame and they got the big win that was, a much needed win there. I like that a lot. I'm glad it happened. It was definitely, helped make Survivor Series something not completely useless.
Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn was nothing to really speak of.
They did what they could with it. Sami Zayn did some humorous stuff, but yeah, not much to it otherwise.
Mm-mm. No, Zayn tripping over MVP is
that was the highlight. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when that's the highlight, it's just like okay, moving along here. I was not entirely surprised that Sasha Banks got the win over Asuka. I mean, she couldn't afford another loss against Asuka at this juncture. So this was somewhat of a foregone conclusion, wouldn't you say?
No, because I wasn't thinking of it in those terms. I'm still thinking that of Asuka as the badass, and that's kind of not her role anymore. And as you said, thinking about it, yes, Sasha's lost plenty of times to Asuka. This is about making Sasha a legitimate champion, and a top star on SmackDown. So as a babyface. Although her actions and her promos do tend to be a little heelish, so we'll just see what they do with her character moving forward. This match, her and Asuka have tremendous chemistry. they had another very good match here, and this time, Sasha did for the first time in her entire career get a clean win over Asuka.
Yeah, so those two matches were pretty good. There were some pretty crazy shenanigans happening because we got the SmackDown women against the Raw women up next. I guess I should have known that something crazy was up when Peyton Royce pinned Bayley. And that really did not even begin to bring the crazy for this match, since we ended up with Lana is the sole survivor.
I didn't like that match at all. It was some baffling booking. I don't understand Bayley losing to Peyton Royce and then Peyton Royce being the next one out.
Yeah, that was also kind of questionable.
Yeah, I mean, they really could have... They could have made somebody with that whole deal, but they chose not to. I'm sorry, I just didn't find it even ironically entertaining. Didn't at all. If someone else did, good for them. But I just I was over the whole thing by the time Lana's hand was raised.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's how they're gonna like. I'm like, oh, that's how they're gonna do this, and it's just like everyone. Not that they haven't ever counted anyone out during a Survivor Series match. It was really just the manner in which it all happened just felt too contrived. You know, it's one thing when Bad News Brown, I always remember back in the day, didn't he walk out on his team?
Yeah, he did that twice, yes.
And he
then
got,
there was the...
Yeah.
Well, there was also the weird year where they just counted out the entire team when they were fighting on the outside. And Ric Flair won by count out over everyone. But, yeah. Which I wish they would have just done that here. I mean, there was... You might as well just done that here and done that in about 10 minutes instead of taking 20+ to get where they got.
Oh. Yeah.
If the match itself wasn't so long for that to be the conclusion, it would have gone down a lot better.
Yeah, I'm just looking. I didn't realize quite how long that match was, and I'm just looking at it. The report that I'm reading says it was 23 minutes and 20 seconds. I'm like, oh my god, like that.
No.
That is unseemly at best.
No. I hate to say it, but right now, the main roster, Raw and SmackDown, just don't have the talent to pull this off in the women's division.
Well, and that's the other thing that.
With NXT hoarding everything. Yeah.
Oh.
And NXT can put 8 women in a War Games and then still have some left out.
Yeah, and still have a championship match that's legitimate.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what they're going to do with that right now. But...
Yeah, that's the other thing that's just kind of weird, and this bleeds into Raw, where... And I think we might have talked about it last week with Lana, like... It's not even, like, even within the matches that she is in, they hide her and hide her and hide her and hide her. And it's like, I don't feel like all of a sudden she's just going to come out and look gangbusters in a match. Because the time that she has gotten in the matches recently, she hasn't looked any crisper than normal. So, like, there's always that part of me, too, that's like, it just does not seem like Lana's ready for a real push, but for whatever reason, she's getting some screen time, and it's not helping the women's division out at all.
No, it's really not. Although what they did on Monday, that was, I didn't hate it.
Well,
at least we're running with something here. Now Asuka's involved, and Lana has a friend, so they can go for the tag team championships together. Although I don't really want to see another deal where the singles women's champion also is the tag team champion at the same time. We definitely played that out to death over the summer. So it's fine to give Lana a friend, and you know. And now that we're past Survivor Series, I think this whole thing is going to be it'll be a little bit more palatable for me.
Yeah. So that. That match definitely was not great. We did end up, I did enjoy the Roman Reigns Drew McIntyre match quite a bit.
Yeah, that match was great. I like that match a lot. They treated it like a big match, you know. Yeah, you know, they did their part to, you know, once again try to, you know, make something out of this. Obviously, they were very much into protecting Drew throughout this to, you know, have him keep just getting up and getting up and getting up and getting until you know the referee he never tapped the referees, you know, made the decision for him.
Yeah. Passing out is always a good way to get around things, and then you get a little bit of interference from the Usos, and you definitely set up the wiggle room to have a rematch with this match, which I can't really, that's the best outcome. Like, they actually did a good job with working that match. They have McIntyre look great, he still loses, so Roman Reigns can keep on being a bully over on SmackDown.
Yeah, definitely.
And there is just, I guess, to go back to the tag teams for a little bit, because this was something that just really annoyed me on Raw. Is New Day going to be stupid enough, like Drew McIntyre was, to give the Hurt Business like a third shot at their championship so they can finally lose them to them?
I think that's exactly where we're going, yes. they have no reason to give them another title shot, but I'm sure they will.
That's all I could think during that. When they came and challenged them again, and for whatever reason, they're picking on Xavier Woods, and he just feels the need to man up, and it's just like, huh? Like, really? I don't... As much as I love the Hurt Business, the logic of that whole thing really is just painfully bad. And now that they lost again... And that was the other thing about it. Like, the Hurt Business were a bunch of idiots in that match. Like, they easily could have gotten back in the ring before that 10 count was done to break the count. Because didn't they end up technically calling it a double count out? Or did the referee just screw things up?
I think there was a screw up somewhere. Either it was the ref or New Day screwed up. I'm not even sure exactly who all screwed up.
Yeah. So, yeah, because why am I looking at this and that they won the match? Why did I think that? Oh, did they have to restart them? Oh, they restarted the match. I forgot about that. Yeah, there is a lot about this angle that I completely didn't like. New Day, the Hurt Business got themselves counted out and then complained that the tag team champion shouldn't win that way. It's just like, dude, it was a double count out. Why should, like, this is, you screwed up, too. Like, it wasn't like the cheapy, just the, again, like, someone walks away from ringside count out situation. I mean, if you're legitimately knocked out for more than 10 seconds on the outside, I mean, it's a cheap way to retain the belt, but it's not really New Day's fault that they retain. Just really didn't like that segment at all. like, yeah, just because the Hurt Business has been enjoyable and I'm good with them winning the belts, like, I guess I kind of expected them to win the belts this time around.
I fully expected that, too. I did not... Yeah, I had no idea that no thought that they weren't actually going to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, and if they eventually are going to win it, then I really, really don't understand.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a strange choice on many levels, which is why I felt the need to bring it up. I guess, you know, one thing that I have unfortunately had to come to terms with is that I think after this year, I am no longer allowed to make Adam Pearce / sign pointing jokes, because Adam Pearce is on pretty much every show this and now. He is actually going to outpace the number of people that that point at the WrestleMania sign come January.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He is all over both shows. Each and every week, yeah, it's hilarious that, you know, and Adam Pearce is essentially running WWE right now.
Yeah, it is a strange thing, and yeah, he set up the yeah, since everyone won for the men's Survivor Series team, he set up not really a tournament for them, but some matches for them, minus Braun Strowman, who headbutted him and found himself outside of this little, yeah, it's not a tournament, but there were three qualifier matches leading to another triple threat match next week. So, I guess... With all the Sheamus and Drew McIntyre foreshadowing that they have been doing, I guess I was quite surprised that Riddle ended up being the one winning that matchup. Were you in the same thought process there, or did you expect Riddle to win?
I fully expected Sheamus to be the next challenger. I mean, it makes sense for a show like TLC because he's, you know, they're doing a good job with Sheamus and McIntyre, but it's still not a money feud or a match that you would even think for a second that McIntyre would lose. So that makes it, you know, perfect for a show like TLC. But no, they're going in another direction. That could be AJ Styles. They always like to throw Styles in there. Or, you know, maybe Braun Strowman will find his way back in and somehow to... I guess Braun Strowman's a heel again.
Oh.
How many times has Braun, like, just turned in the last year? It's getting to be Big Show level at this point.
I was just gonna...
I mean, he's starting to equal Big Show's level of turns over the course of 20 years in the last year.
No, I know that I kept on making that Big Show joke probably during the founding of Stunt Granny. It definitely was there for Big Show, but Braun Strowman is, at least, on pace for as many turns as Big Show, in less time, that's for sure. And, yeah, there is a whole lot. They are doing Braun Strowman no favors whatsoever with the way that he's been booked.
Not for a pretty long time now. No.
Yeah, I still can't believe that winning a championship would be such a bad sign for someone.
Yeah, no. it's been a really bad year for him. I don't know if he, you know, he stuck his foot in his mouth on some levels. which maybe turned some people off of him. And some of it's his performance-wise, but I think the most majority of it is creative. He's been doing a variation of the same thing for quite a while, and you know, he never won the big one when he should have. He is, yeah. So, yeah, it's just been a long road of failure for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, it's been pretty ugly. And yeah, I don't know what I don't know what options they really have for him. Like it did seem like him and Keith Lee were destined for some type of rivalry, but with him off TV, at least temporarily, that doesn't seem to be in the cards right now. So,
with who off TV temporarily?
Strowman.
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine, because, I mean, Adam Pearce, going back to our good buddy, he did make the comment of he should be fired. It's nice to actually hear someone say that on TV. Of course, you know he's not going to get fired, but, you know, at least it was said out loud and acknowledged. That's better than most of the time. So, but yeah, I would imagine that Braun might get a week off TV for his actions last week or something like that. Like it's not going to be a long-term thing, but I could see them selling it for a little bit. because yeah, it would be kind of, I guess the thing that he could do is wreck the triple threat match. This coming week, even if he is supposedly suspended. So, I guess we'll see in that department. But yeah, Strowman has not been handled well. And I don't know what he... I guess he does kind of have something character-wise, or at least that whole Team Little Big thing wouldn't have worked. But creative definitely doesn't seem to be able to get beyond the whole monster thing, which makes you pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah, he is very one-dimensional, and it would have... If even during the good years he was ever champion, and you know, on TV every week as champion, it would have... That one-dimensional nature would have come back to haunt them too, I believe. But him never beating Brock was such a big, huge weight around his neck that he never got over.
Oh, I can't. It took Roman Reigns like 2 or 3 years to get through all the bad stuff that they put him through. Strowman's at least in 9 months of bad stuff. We'll see if he can ever find his way back up to the top like Reigns did. So it could be a long road.
Braun is not a versatile performer. He is, you said, he is one dimensional.
Oh, yeah.
It's and we've seen what he can do. There is nothing. There's nothing more to Braun Strowman that we haven't seen before.
Yep. I guess that's where we're at.
I know that breaks Jeremy's heart, but
it's the truth. it's just calling it what it is. Like he just has limited options Yeah, we'll see what they do going forward with him, but yeah, it's not been a good quarantine era for him. It has been a pretty good quarantine era for Keith Lee, I would say.
Oh it was definitely good. I like the match he had with Lashley. Seems like we're going to have more of a feud there over the United States Championship coming, which I would definitely like to see. So, yeah, no. They debuted him really hot with a win over Randy Orton, and then Nev didn't immediately capitalize on that, and that can hurt. Where he is right now is plenty good.
Moving him down to U.S. Championship is a good level for him to be at currently. If they're gonna bypass, and it feels like they have bypassed that whole wreck a bunch of small guys gimmick that they do for 90% of the men his size. It's a little too late for that at this stage, unless you're just kind of blown off some steam one week or another.
Right.
I would enjoy that. Like, Lashley hasn't had a whole lot. He's been great on TV, but he hasn't really had a feud, so to speak, of to sink his teeth into as U.S. champion. Like, it's been Hurt business, not really just, like, Lashley feuding with someone business. And this, could change that tune. Like, I don't feel like the U.S. championship matches he's had have been really heavily invested in.
No, they have not at all. No, it's been... continuing with Apollo Crews, Titus O'Neil was thrown in there for some reason, Retribution, he has not had a proper feud since winning the U.S. title, and absolutely, Keith Lee can 100% provide that for him, and I look forward to it, to more between those two.
I'm with you there. I am with you. And then since we're on the qualifiers, I think we may as well wrap up. Completely surprised that AJ Styles beat Randy Orton. At this point, Drew versus Orton has been played out, and I think that things need to move along. And obviously, with the interference or at least distraction of the Fiend, that is a pretty obvious outcome to this match.
They've been setting up for the Fiend and Randy Orton for since right after Hell in a Cell. It makes sense, and the Fiend is settling some of many of Bray Wyatt's old scores. So it's interesting how they're booking the Fiend right now, and Funhouse Bray and Alexa Bliss, and that I thought we were getting to where Funhouse Bray and Alexa were baby faces and the Fiend was a heel, but now the Fiend is messing with Randy Orton, who's definitely a heel, although he was kind of the baby face in his match with AJ Styles. So and then Alexa Bliss, suckering in her best friend. That's not exactly babyface behavior.
No, it is not.
I have no idea what's going on. Maybe Cody Rhodes is right. There are no faces and heels anymore. It's all situational. That's not how you run wrestling or any kind of fictional storytelling, but hey, have at it.
Can't
go down anymore.
People.
Well, oh wait, yes, they can.
I think people like Cody, they mistake Shades of Grey for not telling your story well, which is what our complaint normally is. You can book a situation, you can have, because I feel like there have been some feuds, and I'm trying to think of them recently, where both performers have had some ammo against the other one, and you're like, well, they're both making good points. That's shades of gray, but it just, that happens very infrequently where they kind of blur the line between good guy and bad guy. Like, and yeah, I think Cody Rhodes is guilty of that, and the WWE is 100% guilty of that too. Like, yeah, there's a difference between two people making good points, and there's another one where it's just like, oh, that guy shocked another guy with an electric car battery, and the other guy just, you know, only fights legally in the ring. It's just like, oh, the guy that only fights legally in the ring is a bad guy. And it's just like, huh? Like, no, that's not gray. Just because you say it's gray doesn't make it gray. It's painful. Yeah, I don't think people get that the gray concept as well as they think they do. I guess is my big diatribe about that. It's possible, but it takes nuance, and wrestling does not have nuance.
No, it does not. We can definitely agree on that.
Boy, I could have saved all that babbling for that line right there. Oh, well, whatever. Was there anything else, I guess, within the WWE world that was worth talking about before we talk beer?
Yeah, go ahead and talk the beer.
Okie dokie. Well, this was, I think, a Father's Day gift, and it's still around the house. Stone Brewing FML Fear Movie Lions. Double IPA, Stone Brewing, one of those national companies that knows what the hell they're doing. Quality beer products nearly all the time. Most of them are usually on the hoppy side, so if you're not a real hophead, I'm not sure that Stone will be up your alley, although Arrogant Bastard Ale is a very tasty, not-so-hoppy beer of theirs. Yeah, Fear Movie Lions, double IPA. It's definitely a funky IPA because of the double standard. It has that nice dankness to it. That, yeah, if you don't love hops, you're not going to love this one. But, yeah, you should be able to get this nearly anywhere. Like I said, national, not actually an Ohio brand. So, yeah, bell time beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you happen to download this podcast. And have a good night and good Thanksgiving.
Later. Yep, later.